Welcome to the final episode of the James Ignatowicz Show. I think I've been doing this now for 3 years. First, I was interviewing other people, you know, coaching, and just kind of talked about random stuff that I wanted to talk about. I just kept doing these podcasts where I would just talk about whatever it was that I was thinking about, whatever I thought that could help people get better. That was the only reason I did it, was just because people liked it more. Thank you to everybody that watches the show. Welcome to the final episode of the James Ignatowicz Show. So this is the last episode ever. This has been pretty fun. You know, we started, I think I've been doing this now for 3 years. So it's been a 3 year of just, you know, first I was interviewing other people. And then it's funny, one day I had a guest host, Adam Stone. Sometimes we would interview other people. And then one day Adam couldn't make it to one of the episodes. I kind of forget why, but he couldn't make it. I think he might have just been like partying the night before. And then so I did my own episode by myself and just did, you know, coaching and just kind of talked about random stuff that I wanted to talk about, like the backhand dink, other coaching related things. And then that episode got 5 times as many views as my ones with Adam in any of my interviews. So then I just kept doing these podcasts where I would just talk about whatever it was that I was thinking about, whatever I thought that could help people get better. And that was it. That was the only reason I did it, was just because people liked it more. I really never was sure what I wanted to talk about. And the only thing I knew for sure was how to play pickleball and how to maybe teach it. So yeah, we're going to, with that being said, talk about my best shot, my favorite shot, the shot that has made most of my, maybe my pickleball game, which is the two-handed backhand dink. So that's what people know me for. Well, they know me for a lot of things, but that's one of the things maybe that is my, one of the good things, you know, good and bad things that people know me for, but I'm just kidding. But yeah, the two-handed backhand dink, there's so many different things about it. I think that one of the main things that that people will realize is the more that you bend your knees on the two-handed backhand dink, the better you're going to hit the shot. So when I see people that want to bend their knees as much as they would on a forehand dink, but instead do that on a two-handed backhand dink, I just can tell right away that they're not going to be able to execute the shot as well as they probably would hope. So there's all of these different things you can focus on with your upper body. You can focus on using the left hand more, which is key. You could focus on cupping the ball with your right hand a little bit more, keeping your head still. But none of these things matter if you're not willing to get into a literal squat position when you hit the two-handed backhand dink. So if you want a good visual representation of that, you can go on YouTube and you can watch me hit the backhand dink with two hands, or Ben Johns at the two-handed backhand dink, Max Freeman, Ryan Fu, Connor Garnett, any of the players that are known for great two-handed backhand dinks. They are getting, you know, at a literal 90-degree angle with their legs, bending even maybe further than that, because it's necessary. So the reason that it's necessary is because your paddle, when you hit a two-handed backhand dink, will never go below the height of your hand, your paddle face, that is. So that's another thing we want to repeat. It's interesting. The paddle face will never go below the height of your hand. So on a forehand dink, for example, with topspin, right, or almost any other topspin shot, your paddle face will go below your hand. That's just called dropping the paddle. And that's a super normal thing to be doing on any topspin shot. There's no topspin shot you're really going to hit where your paddle face will go, you know, will be above your hand the entire time, except for the two-handed backhand dink. And that's what makes it unique. So the reason that your paddle face will never drop is because it's actually easier to be consistent doing this over and over on a two-handed shot than it is to do this, where you drop it and then you bring your wrist into play and then you try to brush up on the ball. That's a lot tougher. And if you watch the players with the best two-handed backhand dinks, they're keeping it here and they're going like this. So then the question is, how do you repeat that motion? Well, you have to get your legs very low. You have to bend a ton with your knees, and it's unfortunate. Nobody wants to do it, and I get it. It's not something that people love to do, but if you want to have a good backhand dink, you have to get below the ball physically. You have to get below the ball physically because your paddle is not going to do it. So Super important, and I'd say you're bending your left leg even more than your right leg. You're also doing it with your right leg in front of your left leg. You're not doing it open stance, you're doing it closed stance. So your right leg is in front of your left, and that's if you're righty, that is. So another thing is you're getting on the outside of the ball. So you're coming around the left of the ball if you're a righty. Okay? Coming around the left of the ball, getting around the ball, you're not just hitting the back of the ball and you're not brushing up. You're coming around it. So something that you'll also notice if you're hitting a good two-handed backhand dink is your shoulders will not just be square the whole time, and you're not doing this. Actually, this is gonna happen. So your left shoulder will go a little bit above when you're making contact your right shoulder. So it's a little bit of this is happening, and it's funny. There was a pro player who said this. I won't say who it is because I don't know if I am allowed to, but he said that when he's hitting the two-handed backhand dink, it's like his body is telling a story. And I think that's so true. It's not just something you're doing with your hands. The two-handed backhand dink, and there are shots you do exclusively with your hands, but the two-handed backhand dink is whole body. And so it comes from the shoulders, it comes from the legs, and it also kind of can feel like you're leaning into it with your right shoulder, with your right side of your body. Leaning in like this, and ultimately, it's a shot that you want to hit aggressively. So you don't just hit the two-handed backhand dink just to kind of push it in and keep it in play. That's for slices. You know, slices can only be hit so aggressively because if you hit a ball with slice, it's going to float up. And of course, there's a you know, slices are great for defensive shots. They're great for just knowing that you'll make the ball. And I hit slices all the time. But if you want to hit an aggressive slice, it's tougher because the nature of backspin is such that when it bounces. It will then kind of stop where it is because it's spinning this way, it bounces and it does this. Topspin is spinning this way, bounces and it goes that way. So, two-handed backhand dinks can be hit with a lot more aggression than slice dinks. Hey guys, James Ignatowicz here. Make sure to not get ghosted in the pickleball group chat. Get play more. We all know the feeling. You're down to play some pickleball, you send a message to your group chat. A couple people like the message. Are you sure you're going to play the game? You don't really know. Play More is a new pickleball app that does that frustrating part for you. I hate setting up games. I try to make sure somebody else does it every single time. But if I have the Play More app, it changes everything for me. So you're going to be playing with players your level. No more 5-0 versus 3-0 matchups. It's going to be all streamlined and super easy. So make sure to check out the Play More app. Try it out on the App Store or use the web version at getplaymore.com. I think the next thing we'll talk about is the serve. So these are my two favorite shots. And then I guess we could finish with the flick. We'll talk about all my favorite shots, my best shots, since it's the last episode. So the serve is a shot that I was maybe the first person to come out, you know, a couple of years ago. This was before Josh was even a producer with me, that is. And I was like, hey guys, maybe we should hit the serve hard. You know, when we first came into pickleball, when I first came into pickleball, I was taught that you should just push the serve in. You should just make all your serves. And I was probably maybe outside of me and Dekel Barr, maybe the only guy that was like, maybe I'm just going to try to hit it as hard as I can and see if, you know, the ratio of me getting missed returns of serve off of me hitting the serve is actually going to outweigh, you know, the times that I'll miss my serve since I can toss it to myself and hit it. And it proved to be a good idea. And I would say, and I won't give myself too much credit, we'll just move past that part. I'll just say, look, the best way to simplify it is hit the serve hard, but aim for a big target. So if you want to get started hitting the serve hard, you don't want to try to hit it on the line. You don't want to try to hit a winner, you know, perfect serve. Just aim for the middle of the box so that you have all the space in the world. You can miss your target by 4 feet in any direction. And that's okay because it'll still be in. If you miss it, if you aim it right in the middle of the box, it's very tough to miss. So you take a big target and then you hit it as hard as you can. And then you bring the margins in from there as you get more comfortable. I think that's where people make mistakes. They try to hit the line, they try to hit a tiny spot also as hard as they can. And then they're like, look, hitting the serve hard is not for me. It's not possible. No, you just have to make a big target. And the same thing goes for the return of serve. I think hitting the return of serve is hard too. Not enough people hit the return of serve hard yet. And I think in a year, you're going to see people hitting the return of serve almost as hard as the serve because those two shots are, you know, you can hit the whole court basically. I mean, the serve, you can only hit to half the court, obviously, but there's a ton of space. And I think as the game gets better, people are going to hit the serve and the return harder and harder and harder. So yeah, that's another thing. And another thing with the serve that's big for me is keeping my arms actually pretty small. I don't take a big swing. And if you see the people with the biggest serves outside of Tyson McGuffin, he'll have a pretty big backswing, but outside of him, people will have pretty small backswings on the serve, but they're going to use their legs a lot. I've always found that if you're trying to hit the ball hard, but still somewhat consistently, it's always better to use your legs and your body a lot and use your arms just a little bit. The less that you use your arms and the more that you use your legs, I think the more repeatable the motion is. You know, it's easier to do it over and over. If you take a big swing and try to crush the ball with a big swing, it's harder to do that, 10 times out of 10. But if you just say to yourself, all right, I'm going to make a small swing with my upper body, I'm going to keep it compact, but I'm going to use my legs as much as I can. I'm going to put my whole body into this thing. Then you can do that. I think it's easier to do that over and over and over and over. So yeah, that's another thing that helped me a lot. And also, if there's one thing actually that's super key. You don't want to try to stay still too much on purpose when you play. There's a lot of coaches that will tell you that you should try to hold still when you hit the ball. You know, you want to try to, like, it's golf or something where you really want to try to stay still. And that's just not a mentality I think that's conducive to playing at a high level. I think there are players that will try to slow their feet down. There are coaches that'll say, slow your feet down when you're hitting the drop. Don't move your feet too much. Try to slow down. And that's just, pickleball has been around for a long time, and it's definitely played by a demographic of players that is older. But that doesn't mean you should try to slow down. And I think that's kind of something that gets conflated, those two things, where it's like if you don't feel like you can move super fast, a lot of coaches don't feel like they're great at moving, so they want to try to tell other people, hey, you shouldn't move that much. Try to just, do what I do and slow the game down. And slow your feet down. If you're watching the pros play, we're not trying to slow our feet down. We're not trying to slow ourselves down. I think that the quicker that you move and the more athletic that you feel when you play, the slower the ball will move in your mind. It will feel like it's moving slower. The more that I'm athletic and I'm engaged with my feet, and that doesn't mean, you don't have to necessarily be athletic to do this. You don't have to have good feet to do this. It's just if you are as engaged as you can be, and if you feel like you're being as athletic as you can be, then that will engage your mind to then focus on the ball the best that you can focus on it. The pros are not trying to be relaxed necessarily when they play. They're not trying to slow the game down and be calm and just have the best touch possible, because that doesn't hold up, under pressure in the biggest moments. It's actually about intensity, and then the calmness kind of comes actually from intensity, which is a little bit of an interesting thing. But yeah, you don't want to try to slow your feet down too much because the game's getting faster, and as people hit the ball harder, if you're slowing your feet down and trying to stop when you hit every time, it's tough to do. I don't try to do it. It's very tough for me to do. So yeah, those are the main things. Last thing, when you're hitting a backhand flick, swing as hard as you can and just hit less of the ball. That's the tip that has helped so many people. Remember that if you hit less of the ball, right? So if you just brush a tiny part of it, but you swing as fast as you possibly can, you're gonna get a ton of spin and you can still keep the ball in. Hitting backhand flicks is all about a lot of acceleration. It's not about trying to, slow your paddle down. If you want to try to rein the ball in, if you want to try to make the ball with a little bit less pace, you still swing just as hard, but you just hit a tiny, tiny bit of the ball. If you see JW Johnson, best flick in the game, he'll hit some slower off-pace flicks, but have you ever seen JW Johnson hit a flick like this? Like he's just, no. He's flicking it every time. He's just hitting. Sometimes he hits a bigger chunk of the ball. Sometimes he hits less of the ball, but it's the same every time. So that's actually a great way to build consistency too. If you're always swinging at the same pace, but you're just hitting less of the ball. But that's an advanced tip. That's why I saved it for the end. I don't know. That's all we got. So this is going to be the last episode, the last time you guys see me give a podcast. So I would ask you to leave questions in the comments, but I can't answer them. But anyway, yeah, super grateful. For Selkirk. Selkirk has helped me so much. Selkirk has really helped push the marketing side of things for me mainly has given me this platform to give you guys a podcast and to really help me kind of learn how I like to teach and help me, just kind of spread what I think is helpful knowledge. I think that there's a lot of different ways to coach this game, and there's a lot of different philosophies that are being taught, and that's what makes pickleball special. And it's because it's so new, and so there are so many different things that people think. There's not just one cookie cutter way to teach, so that's what makes it kind of fun for me to teach. And thank you to Josh, and thank you to everybody that watches the show. So yeah, that's all.